You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. You can also find my work over at Grizzly Bear Blues, where I am an assistant editor, so you can check out my work over there. Over the weekend, the weather decided to drop from 70 to 30, so I am still suffering an incredible sinus infection, so I apologize for how bad I feel and how bad this probably sounds, but I do want to do a quick introduction. The show's not going to be very long today just because I don't feel well, and we also have a longer interview with Lang Whitaker, GM of Grizz Gaming, so that's what's on the docket for today's show. That'll be basically the whole show today. So again, this will wrap up all of our conversations with Grizz Gaming from all of last week to this through, you know, to yesterday and today. Tomorrow we'll be back with Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, along with a few other guests throughout the rest of the week. If you haven't already seen, Jonas Valanciunas has been ruled out the rest of the season, something that we talked about on this show on Monday, and so it's not something that is surprising, but he has been ruled out for the rest of the season. So Mike Conley has, there's still nothing on Mike Conley, so his is clearly not as serious, but Jonas was a grade 2 ankle sprain, so no surprise there. Probably good for him to rest and just kind of take it easy for the rest of the summer. So we talked about what Jonas might look like next year. Again, we'll talk about some of that same stuff with Joe Mullenix, just kind of get his take on it, because it's been the topic of conversation in the past few days and in the world of the Grizzlies and the people who cover the team. So we'll get his thoughts on that as well. If you're not already subscribed to this podcast, please do so. You can download the new Himalaya app. In a world where podcasting is always changing, the Himalaya app makes it super easy to download to be subscribed to Locked On Grizzlies. And you can subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, literally wherever you get your podcasts. It's super easy, but please go do that. If you have a minute, please also go take the time to rate and review this podcast in iTunes. It really helps our rankings in the iTunes chart. So please do that. But coming up after the break, Lang Whitaker, Grizz Gaming GM. Wyze is the indoor camera that does it all. Wyze is packed with premium features that allows you to see everything from anywhere for only $20. It's 1080 full HD. The images are so clear you won't miss a thing. It's got night vision and two-way audio. Wyze has one mission, is to bring amazing smart home products and make it accessible to every single person. If you're on vacation and want to check on your house, all you have to do is log into their app and see the live stream from anywhere in the world. If you're on vacation, if you want to make sure your dogs are okay, if you want to make sure that your plants have been watered, literally you can watch anything you want to watch from anywhere in the world with the Wyze Cam at just $20 a camera. It is super, super affordable. And even bigger bonus, they have a free 14-day rolling cloud storage and no subscriptions. I know that every single time you get something, there's always that hidden thing as you have to subscribe. Well, with Wyze Cam, there is no subscriptions at all. And for just $10 more, Wyze Cam Pan gives you 360 degrees of coverage in under 3 seconds. Life moves fast. Your camera should too. You can also track action. Wyze Cam Pan automatically detects, tags, and tracks motion within its field of view. You want to watch your pets while you're on vacation? It's literally never been easier, as the Wyze Cam Pan will keep up with the motion as it crosses the field of view. Keeping up with life in real time has never been so easy. It even works with Alexa. It also works on your smartphone from literally anywhere in the world. Go to wyze.com/locked. That's wyze.com, wyze.com/locked. You'll get the lowest price available. What's different going into it for this year? I mean, you obviously have a lot. Just learning curve wise, it's new everything last
year. There's less variables.
Yeah. I think
that's the main thing, is, you know, having gone through it once, kind of know what to expect just from like on the court and off the court standpoint. We have an idea of how the gameplay is going to be. That this year, we can, like, from the start, we can practice online against other teams, which we couldn't last year at the beginning of the season. So we kind of have a better sense for, like, what works, what doesn't work, how we stack up, I think.
Yeah.
And then, like, we know what the grind is like on the travel side of things. You know, we flew to New York 17 times last season. So I think we have a little bit better idea of when to back off and when to push it a little bit.
You mentioned, so you guys are allowed to scrimmage other teams right now?
Yeah. So we're playing probably two or three. Monday was the first day we've had all six guys here in town.
Yeah.
So this week we kind of tried to – I tried to take it a little easier and not do, you know, all-day scrimmages. Usually the way it works is teams will play like they'll set aside like a three-hour block or something like that to scrimmage. Right. And you can probably play three, four games in that time. So, like, I've been trying to set up, like, at least one of those a day to start. And then next week probably we'll do double or triple that heading into the thing. But, yeah, so we're scrimmaging other teams. And
that's not something you were allowed to do last year, right? Is that what you're saying?
You
couldn't do it like –
we just didn't have the technical capability of doing it at the beginning of the season. Like, about halfway through the year, it started becoming available.
Right.
So we either had to, like, just get bodies in here to play against – or
people just random people, anybody that was like good in the community to come in there and play.
Yeah. So, you know, that could be a challenge because like this is such a big community. Like, you know, it's like some people like Perp, who's now our assistant coach and is a big person in the community, lives in Tupelo. You know, and it's not easy just at the drop of the hat to drive over and play.
Right.
So, so from that standpoint, you know, some people from Mississippi or other places, you know, we had to plan ahead. Just took a lot more logistical work last year than like this year. You can just say, get a text from one of the other managers and say, hey, do you guys want to play in an hour? And you say yes, and you just go do it.
Right. So that makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Obviously, like I said, it's just technical stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel your second draft went this year?
Good. Yeah, we were happy with it. You know, the best part about it, you know, last year we had to draft six players in six positions. And so this year going into it, you know, we already had two positions filled.
Right.
And also just like, you know, we had a better feel for the players in the draft pool. There was more players available too. So, you know, it was a lot bigger net you had to cast. But we were able to kind of early on drill down on, you know, what we wanted exactly. You know, we knew we had power forward and a center. And then so we knew we needed point guard, shooting guard, small forward, and a six man basically. And so when you're, you know, trying to fill those specific things, it's a lot easier than last year where you have to put together an entire team from scratch. And, you know, having the two retained players and Perp, who knew all the players, who played with them, played against them, like that makes things a lot easier too.
No, and you say, hey, who is this guy? Is he good? What is his specialty?
Yeah, it's more like, you know, like, I mean, here's the thing is like all these guys are really good.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's not like one guy's a – you know, A plus and this guy's a D or whatever. Like all these guys in the draft pool were really good. So it was really more about like finding guys who fit specific things. Like, you know, J-Rod's a fantastic shooter. You know, Vandy's a very good offensive player. Like we were looking for specific things at each position.
Right.
And then we were able to kind of narrow it down to five or six guys at each round that we thought were going to be available.
Right.
And had contingency plans in place and other stuff like that. But it was I don't want to say easier, it was simpler this year than it was last year. Yeah.
Do the guys do they have to have positions selected before they get drafted, or they can play this is what I can do?
Yeah, like they tried out at a position, or you know, went through the combine at a position.
Right.
But some of the guys like qualified at, you know, center. But we knew that they could play point guard probably better than they played center. So we would consider them at a different position, you know.
Right.
I'm not even sure what Dan qualified or went through the combine as, but we know that, you know, we knew that we were going to use him as a small forward.
Right.
You know, and the other two guys are here. And Toxic, we knew from last season, you know. And he played, I think, shooting guard for the Cavs last year, but in the offseason had played a lot of small forward and shown himself to be, like, exceptional at that. And so – so we knew like we could get him in and put him there.
So you're just looking for certain skills that fit a game plan.
Yeah.
Basically. Okay. Yeah. Like you said, it makes it simpler. Not necessarily easier, but at least simpler.
Yeah. I mean, it was still so much work, you know, and you're like sorting through stats and screenshots and all this stuff like that. But it's still, it's not easy to, you know, to figure out who you're going to get. And then you don't know like who's going to get picked and who's not going to get picked and who's going to be available when you pick and all that stuff, and you're just hoping, you know, that But, you know, the first and second round, we wanted Vandy and J-Rod. Those were our top guys at each position, and somehow they were available to us. So right. We were grateful for that.
Now, I guess, you have the guys on here. Like, yeah. You just plan every day, and the game start April 2nd, right?
Yeah, our first game is the 3rd. The tournament starts April 2nd.
Okay.
We play on the 3rd, and then we so we go to New York on the 2nd. So,
I saw something where the time change, or there's like time slots now. Is that different than last year?
No, I mean, last year we played a lot. It was every last year we played Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the Saturday games were like morning and night.
Okay.
This year it's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no right. Saturday games.
Okay.
So, you know, there's still like these kind of windows of like 5 hours at a time where there's games.
Right. So. You brought Dan back.
Yep.
That's something that you obviously wanted to try to do the whole time. Were you confident he was going to be there?
No, because, I mean, last year he was the youngest player in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he hit a game winner for us and showed yep. He was one of the better players in the league. So, you know, we could only retain 2 players. I wasn't sure if he'd get taken in the draft or not, the expansion draft. When he didn't get taken in the expansion draft, you know, we thought we could retain him, and it would cost, I think, a second-round pick to retain a 3rd player.
Okay.
We were hoping we'd be able to draft him lower than the 2nd round and not have to use a 2nd round pick on him. And, you know, what worked in our favor was, like, we all knew how good he is, but the rest of the league might not have seen that because, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't see him every day in practice and see him in games. So, we were thrilled he was there for us.
So you could have kept him, but you would have cost you a 2nd round pick?
Yeah.
And you could have – can you do, like, 4 and 5 players or just –
I think you could keep – no, you could keep – I think it was –
Can you keep your whole team and not draft anybody?
Yeah. I mean, the Sixers ended up only drafting 2 players.
Okay.
I think it was if you kept 1 player, it's a 2nd round pick. If you kept another player, it's a 1st round pick. I think that's what it was. So there were some teams that only kept 1 or 2. I think one team only kept 1 player. The Dallas only had 1 player from last year. And then the Sixers had 4 from last year. So
the pick just goes non-exist. Like, you just don't make – there's yeah. no pick made.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Which also worked in our favor because in the 2nd round, all the teams that kept a player, an extra player, mm-hmm. meant that the 2nd round only had, like, half as many players taken as the 1st round did.
Oh, right. Because they didn't have –
So then our 3rd round pick actually was kind of like a late 2nd rounder.
Right.
Know? So –
That's interesting. I didn't know that was even a possibility. I just saw that they protected 2 yeah. players, and that was it. That's interesting. Yeah. That's how it's going to be going forward too, I'm assuming?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's an expansion draft next year or not.
Right.
You know, so
yeah. How much is still? I guess how much are you guys still learning?
A lot.
You know.
Yeah.
From the league side too.
Yeah, a lot. You know, it's a new thing. So.
Yeah.
I mean, at least this time we've done it before, mm-hmm. so we have some idea of how it works and. The league knows kind of what works and what doesn't work and can probably adjust accordingly to that.
Yeah.
But having gone through it once again, like, that's great, you know.
The players mentioned that the builds changed from yeah. last year to this year. Do you know when they're going to – like, do you have any idea what it's going to be? Like, personally before it changes?
No, not really. No, I mean, that's a 2K thing. Like,
yeah.
When 2K, you know, 19 comes out, it's different than 2K18.
So that's not even a league thing. That's just
a game
thing.
You know, like, every game – it's like when a 2019 Cadillac right. comes out, it's different than yeah. 2018. You know?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
So everything – every year, like, the new Air Jordan is different than last year. So
– right.
Then every year the game's a little different, and so this year's game is a little different than last year. So, and then the league build's always a little different than the actual game.
Right.
So, you know, these guys all played 2K19. I played 2K19, and then when the build comes out, that's when you see like what else has been tweaked from that, and it's really only through practicing that you can figure that out.
Right.
You know?
So. That's interesting. And I guess I never really even thought about that because yes, it does. Like even like I played 2K19 like. It's probably too much, but you know, yeah. like you don't think about. Yes, it's different every year, but I just didn't. I guess I didn't even apply. I mean,
that's just a commerce thing, right?
Right. Like, yeah.
You know,
you got to change it.
You're a company, you want people to buy your product, you change it.
Yeah, you have to change it in some way. Either sometimes make it worse, better for whatever you
well,
know.
It's
whatever
like the
you
European
think.
Soccer teams, they have a new jersey sponsor every year because
yeah.
you have to buy the new jersey every year.
Exactly.
So, you know.
So I guess that from a lot of guys, the framework is more difficult. To play in the lane.
Like it, yeah, it's harder to, like, throw full court passes or, like, get out on breaks like that.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to be more careful with the ball. It's like that. It's very unforgiving was the way one of the other managers described it to me. And I think that's a pretty accurate way of, it's hard.
Yeah. From what I, from your point and from your side of things, is it going to be now, and I think I remember who asked, but is it more like actual basketball where you're going to have to start running more sets and plays?
A little bit. I mean, because last year that five out was like the way everyone figured out, like that became the meta. So like, you know, that small forward position was so powerful. And then you put your best player on that position. We saw other teams start doing that. We put Mayer at that small forward, and he was able to just get buckets, basically. And when you do that, the other four guys basically just stand in the corners,
right.
You know, and don't really do much. You know, one guy might cut, or you know, but there's not a ton of movement all around. This year, it feels like there's a lot. I don't think the five out's going to work. So there's a lot more movement and figuring out how to get this guy involved and that guy involved. And I mean, there's probably still some plays on the board over there. Like, you know, we're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work.
I guess, like you said, everybody is at one point, everybody has figured out that's what worked, and then that's what everybody did.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
You got to be the first to figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, and also like we've played teams like yesterday and the day before, we scrimmage teams, and you see a play, and you're like, hey, that's kind of cool. We could use that, you know? Or
right. Same thing in NBA. Yeah. People still plays all the time. Exactly. This is the way it works.
You know, and the thing I tell these guys is like, you know, like in NBA games, I sit there courtside. Like every team knows every play, every team runs.
Yeah,
and like the JB will call out motion, and the other coaches and coaching staff will be like, that's our, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's just a different name.
Yeah, so you know what's coming, it's just execution. And that's exactly what it becomes, is like how well you execute it. So,
yeah.
You know.
Do you ever change in season? Do you ever, like you mentioned moving authentic guy friend, do you ever change their positions in season? Like if you figure that out, like this guy would be better now that this is the way it's working, this guy suited better to be a center.
Last year we did a lot because, you know, last year we had to draft a point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward, center, or whatever. And like I know you talk to those guys, some people try it out at different positions just to get into the league, but turns out they're better at other things.
Yeah.
And then once the five out came into play, like, you know, then we shuffled everyone else around. And so I think this year, like, though, we're pretty set. Like, you know, we drafted specifically four positions.
Right.
So, like, at least for now, I think we know what we're doing. I kind of feel like that's the way I want to do it. Like, you know, like, it's like, like the Spurs, like you know what they're going to do, and you know who plays what position, and they're not going to try and surprise you with anything.
Right.
They just come out and do it and say, you stop us. If you stop us, good. But
have fun trying.
Yeah.
And it's just they're just better than you at it. That's the problem.
That's what I want to be, is that I don't want us to just, you know, do what we do.
Yeah.
And be good at it.
You brought in an assistant coach this year. Yep. What was the thinking behind that?
Draft.
Did everybody do that this year? Was that just something to you?
You know, a lot of teams hired coaches and stuff during the season last year, and people from the competitive 2K scene. You know, last year we had, like I was saying, like people come in and practice against us and with us. And Perp came in a couple times. I got to know him a little bit. Just a great guy. They all liked him. I liked him a lot. He lives in Tupelo. And he's just so well respected in that community. So then when draft stuff kind of started for this year, you know, we were talking about hiring somebody to help with the draft and as the season goes along. And Perp was just, like, such a good fit for it. Like,
yeah.
It made sense. He's so close by, you know. And he was really helpful through the draft process. And he's been helpful so far this year. Like, I mean, we were talking on the phone yesterday. Like, he texted me. You know, we text back and forth. And he also has played with and against all these guys. So he knows their strengths and weaknesses, and you know, he's super helpful from that standpoint.
Is he helping like even like game planning throughout the? He'll be throughout the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, he's so far so good. So
cool.
Thanks again to Lane for joining me on today's show. Again, I apologize for the shorter show. Hopefully, I'll be back tomorrow feeling a little bit better. And hopefully, the weather will continue to not be cold because I am frankly tired of winter. But anyway, if you're not already subscribed to this podcast, please go do so. Download the new Himalaya podcasting app. You can subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies through the Himalaya app, and it's super, super easy. Whether it's iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, doesn't matter. The new Himalaya app makes it super easy to subscribe to Locked On Grizzlies. If you want to be a feature sponsor on my show, please email me, LockedOnGrizz at gmail.com. We can have the conversation. We have a lot of super, super great rates, and we'd love to have you on as a sponsor for our show. If you're not already following the show on Twitter, please do so, at Locked On Grizz. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at King underscore producer. That is where we will continue the conversation after the show. If you still don't know where to go, just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.